On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
It was called the Winter Pack.
Okay. Well, that should be thicker, darker.
Yeah. And so it was just three beers in this little... In Matt's now gone off in a different direction.
I'm not sure what the f*** this is. I'm about to find out.
This is Tall Can Audio.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome into TCA number 754. Make sure you're following us on social media at Tall Can Audio on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/TallCanAudio. Hope you'll subscribe if you haven't already, wherever you're listening to this one. Matt over here, Rob over there. What's going on, man?
Rob's confused a little bit.
Okay.
It used to be where, you know, I could chart the shows, mm-hmm. right? In between, I'm like, okay, I was on most of them. Now there's a bunch of shit happening.
Shit just keeps rolling on throughout the week.
So I'm like, I think we did 754 last week, but apparently not.
We did 752 last Sunday, and allow me to bring you up to speed. 753, friend of the show, Chris Hoffley from the Ottawa Sports and Entertainment Group was on this week. Helped us kind of talk a little bit about, you know, normally right now, you and I'd be watching the East and West final of the CFL as we enter into Grey Cup week. And so this coming week would be Grey Cup week. And so Chris Hoffley was on to talk about the Red Blacks' contributions to what they're calling Grey Cup United. They're going to do a bunch of virtual events. Obviously no game this week. No Grey Cup on Sunday. But he brought us up to speed on the Red Blacks' contributions to some of the online events and what else is going to be going on across the league, as well as, you know, sort of what the 67s are expecting in terms of an OHL season and whether there's going to be any sort of flexibility. You know, they're talking about an early February start. What does that look like? You know, if there's 9 cases in Sault Ste. Marie, are they allowed to put fans in the building versus, you know, what's happening in Southern Ontario, things like that. So he brought us up to speed on his understanding of a bunch of those things, as well as kind of getting us ready for this online Grey Cup week. That was 753, man. That's the lost episode that you've apparently missed out on. But I'd encourage you and everyone else to go back and check that out.
For sure I will. I love it. And Hoffley's a beer guy, right?
Oh, yeah. So, no, he's always down to have a pint or two. And he put it out on Twitter to ask which craft beer he should have on the show. And there was no consensus. He got like 35 replies that were, go to this, go to that.
35 different breweries,
yep.
Or 35,
well, you know.
Or 35 different beers from local breweries.
I would say that more so, but certainly no consensus on anything. And he did say on the show, that was no help, right?
Well, and a guy with his extensive background in, you know, in dealing with, you know, the public, social media and whatnot, you'd think that he would have a better idea that I'm not likely going to get much helpful in return here.
Well, and I like to think he just threw it out there to draw a little attention to what he was about to do, and because he's media savvy that way.
That's right? What makes him the pro.
Yep.
And I don't disagree.
We're sitting here doing this.
Yeah. So. But I also wonder if you say, hey, these are the 5 I'm looking mm-hmm. at. Hoffley, there's free tips. Take those with you and do with them as you see fit.
You know we will.
Yes, I'm sure he will.
Staying in the CFL vein, we will have on Wednesday morning for you, Michaela Schreider will be back on the show, host of the Mouchoir podcast, and we'll just reminisce on Grey Cups of old, kind of stay in that CFL vein. as we sort of, I don't know, kind of reminisce a little bit and just kind of fill that void that would be the big week across the Grey Cup and across the CFL. On Friday morning, we will have Toronto Mike. And if any of you are listening to this from the Toronto area and have enjoyed what we've kind of been doing here over the last several months, I think you probably already know who Toronto Mike is, but for our Ottawa listeners,
Pinball Clements.
That would be amazing. We got to find a way to get Pinball. We have this discussion all the time on various Twitter polls and stuff like that. Favorite ever Toronto athlete or whatever. There is no one in the world who dislikes pinball. There are those of us who like pinball more than others, but that guy is always smiling, always happy. Pinball is what, but Toronto Mike runs a show
looks great in a toque.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the Toronto Mike podcast is sort of dedicated to what we've kind of done in out of necessity, I guess, right? In terms of every week, he's got two or three different people from around the Toronto media, either current or retired or whatever you'd want to call it. But he's got everything from your big time sports guys, your Darren Dreggers or Bob McKenzie's or James Duthie's, down to the overnight guy at Edge 102 back in 1994 or whatever. And he does his research like mad and just wants to talk to the people who've had impacts in the Toronto media. But in a big way, it also reflects into the national sports media. He's definitely a sports guy. That's where he likes to lean when he can get those types of guys. So he's going to be on the show on Friday morning. So another fun week ahead at Tall Can Audio, man.
Okay, that'll be interesting.
Yep, for sure.
Well, and it's those sorts of things, right? It's the guy who does overnights, you know, in
94. He's got the stories. It's Storm and Norman Rumack, right?
Of course. Like, and these sorts of things, right? Where you had so much more freedom to do whatever.
Yep.
Right? In terms of what's just sort of become, you know, governed right out of you.
Yeah.
Right? In yes. terms of what you can and can't do and what you can and can't play and when you need to play things. Mm-hmm. So much more corporate, right?
Yeah.
Is in the last 30 years. So those are the kinds of things where you go, on the surface, you're like, that doesn't sound like a great thing. And then you're like, actually, that sounds like a fantastic
exactly.
thing.
And that's often where the best ones come from, right? And so Mike will have a bunch of stories like that. And just, you know, similar to what we've tried to do around here, right? Where you get to know Jennifer Hedger on a surface level as she's on TV, but then he's got like an hour and a half with her to just, you know, where'd you get your start? What are you into? What's your, and we've done some of that around here, but I'll be honest, like a lot of the way to do it or the format I've stolen from Toronto Mike. He's done a really nice show for quite a while that I dig listening to. So I'm excited that he's going to be on, we're dubbing it so far, Ottawa Matt meets Toronto Mike. So that'll be Friday morning.
It's like anything else you've done, right? You've talked with, on multiple occasions, you've talked with Ian Mendez, mm-hmm. and you've had, and he did that workshop with local bloggers, podcasters, yep. young writers, whatever it was, right? And I think because podcasting is, and I'll put air quotes, new, because now literally everybody has a podcast.
Right.
Right.
For sure.
But it still is that sort of, you know, next frontier. I won't even call it the new frontier, but it is sort of that thing where it's exploding, and it has exploded over the last 5, 6, 7 years.
Right.
We are now over 5 years old. So that puts mm-hmm. us way back at the beginning of this ish.
I think we pushed it forward,
but that everybody needs to help everybody else grow. Right. And so I'm sure somebody like Toronto Mike would be flattered and interested to continue to help because it is a community, right?
Yep. And he said that when I asked him, he's like, it's not very often that I get asked to guest, right? I'm used to being the one kind of same as I'm doing, reaching out, looking. But he was into it. He's like, yeah, let's talk about it. Let's do it. And that's exactly, you referenced Ian Mendez. You know, the thing that he did back in the spring with a bunch of us was the same way. Like, we've all got some time. We're all looking to grow. And what came out of it, and I don't care how it sounds, but when it was over, I went to the list. I'm the one who started the conversation. After Ian had invited all of us, I hit reply all and said, hey, if you're interested, here's our social, here's my email. Let's stay in touch. Let's see down the road if we can all kind of form a bit of a community and work together here. And about half the group jumped on board with that and about half didn't. But once you've created this community, let's actually try and build on it a little bit. So that'll be fun. And as I said, on Wednesday morning, Michaela Schreider will be here again. We're going to talk a little Grey Cup. We're going to talk a little CFL, which is obviously her bread and butter. But you and I, we kind of used the Grey Cup 105 in Ottawa. I believe that was 2017.
Yep.
To kind of push our show forward and get ourselves onto the map a little bit and kind of use the fact that it was going to be here to draw some new guests, to draw some new audience and get to know Andy Nita, certainly from the Nita Beer Company, who was going to both sponsor and co-drink with us as the week went on.
Oof.
That guy's a champ, for
yeah,
sure.
Co means that we had equal parts in that.
What are your memories of that week in terms of, you know, putting those shows together and then enjoying the game when we got to go and do that? It was Toronto-Calgary. It was a really fun game once we got to it. What's your kind of takeaway as we kind of enter Grey Cup week from that Grey Cup week in 2017?
It's clearly easy to look at that as a turning point in the podcast, right? To me, that time, and you worked super hard on that, and as you have continued to do, is it started with AJ Jakubek,
yep,
and Andy Nita in. But to me, and no offense to either one of those guys, to me, probably still one of the highlights at this point is Scotty MacArthur.
Scotty Mac, that was awesome.
Coming in on the Friday night, yep, and not just giving of his time in Grey Cup weekend, but like sitting down and having a session.
Yeah.
Right? And we just ran the mics.
I'll remember him like halfway through. He's like, "I didn't just come out here for one beer. Like, it's time for you to go get another one."
That was a liter beer we gave you.
Yeah,
in that
for sure. Yeah, we talked a lot of Blue Jays and stuff as that was going on. But
Wait, and the best part for and he and I were on the same side of the studio was nicely sort of there was Scotty MacArthur and I on one side and you and Matty Lang on the other side.
Yeah.
Yes. Scott MacArthur he challenged us all as sports fans, as people who talk sports, right?
Yeah.
He didn't mind calling me out for sure. Right. And we had that discussion on price and a bunch of things, right? I love that, right? That he just came in and he's got a profile and he's a guy who's got his own gig and doing his own thing, but he was just in the trenches, right?
Yep.
And they're swinging.
Yeah.
Right. And debating. And yeah, you know what? You're full of shit.
I'm blanking right now. I'm going to throw it out there and hope that you remember. It's the guy who signed with the Angels, the Japanese guy who could play both ways.
Yeah. Nope.
Okay.
I don't have it.
Okay. So you can all yell at your radios right now as you're listening to this because you'll remember and I don't have it here in front of me. But that's what
we're a free agent now.
That's what we were debating at the time. And as you said, he stayed for a couple of beers and then he said, I'm supposed to go meet some guys, you know, we'll see. And he eventually took off. And I remember, you know, as I was kind of sending him off at the front door, kind of reaching out, shaking his hand and saying, you know, thank you so much again for doing this. And he just kind of looked at me and said, hey, we're all just trying to do our shit. And it sounds like such a way to, like, it sounds like such a dismissive ant, but I totally got that in that moment, right? That he had been there. He was once trying to, and we're all just trying to do our thing, man. And as you said, even about Toronto Mike, right? Expand the community, give back a little, guest over here, host over there, whatever it might be. And Scotty's been very generous since then in terms of sharing our stuff around on social media. And he made waves in his own way ever since. But and every year for the Grey Cup since then, whether we're having these people in studio or not, I reach out to people from that week and say, can you just send me 30 seconds, 45 seconds of audio with your Grey Cup prediction? And he continues to be a part of that as well. So I agree. Getting Scotty to come in that week and do that was tremendous in terms of just putting us on the map a little bit. I always credit AJ for being the first one to give us the time of day. But getting Scotty to come in and do it in studio, because AJ was on the phone that time. And, you know, it was great, but it's a little different. And Scotty just came in, drank a bunch of pints with us on the Friday night before we headed downtown to do some of the breakup weekend festivities. Yeah, it was awesome. So I enjoyed being able to use that to kind of put us on the map a little bit, and then certainly enjoy the weekend on the Saturday. You mentioned Maddie Lang, and you and I, and we went down to first the Stamps party, first the Argos party, and they threw a hell of a party.
Well, and it was small, but it was mighty.
Yep. The Barley Mow there on Bank, and they were throwing, as you said, it was limited but it, in terms of number of people, but it was rocking.
Well, and more blue Curacao than I've ever laid my hands on, right, in terms of what you could get this Kool-Aid and, yes, and blue Curacao. It was just sort of, I'm stumbling out of there and my lips are blue.
And their cheerleaders were all hanging out in there. That was a great party. We went into a Stamps party after that. I forget at which establishment now down at Lansdowne.
Yeah, it felt more like a corporate golf event.
It wasn't
event.
Anywhere near as good, and it was some kind of bad band playing for a while, and so we didn't stay there very long. And I think, as you said, at least at the Argos party, good or bad, it was a theme drink they were passing around, right? Like, here's the double blue vodka or whatever the fuck it was. I don't even remember. Yeah.
It was vodka, Kool-Aid, and blue Curacao. That's exactly what it was.
And when you went into the Stamps one, it was like, yeah, here's a bottle of Canadian. You're like, I can make that happen, but you didn't put as much effort into this as the next guys. And so we headed from there over to Ryderville. And man, they lived up to the billing that they get any Grey Cup week. That was a blast being at Ryderville. Well,
and it goes from the Boatyard, which was, there may have been 200 people there. It was packed, right?
Yeah,
it was
a small location,
But it was robust. You know, we were on a concrete floor and it felt like that. And people were just packed in there and they were drinking and shouting.
Yeah.
And then, as I said, we went down to this brand new, it was wood and glass and chrome, this place where the Stamps are doing their thing. And, you know, there's somebody talking over the microphone all the time.
It was very commercial.
Pick up your t-shirt and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh man. Then you go into, but it was bigger. Then we moved into the Aberdeen Pavilion.
Yeah.
And there was thousands of people at Ryderville. And it started out, there was a classic rock band.
Yep.
And then it went into dance tunes.
It was more like a nightclub vibe afterwards. Yeah. But
And it was jam-packed, right, with big 80s hair.
But you're right. Like, it's like a convention center in there. Like, it was a huge, open. They do everything from like the boat show to wrestling events can go into that thing, right? Like, it's just a big open, and here it is. You get your beer tickets, get your whatever, and then hit the dance floor, man. Like, basically, it was a blast though to that type of thing in terms of going to a nightclub at 34 or whatever at the time is not my scene, but going to a CFL themed party. Yeah, all right, like, let's do that. That sounds awesome. So,
well, and you got everybody wandering through there. I remember the guy, and his name escapes me, but Bo Levi Mitchell, the guy coming, the fat guy in the super tight Bo Levi Mitchell jersey, right? And he's and I'm wearing a Red Blacks jersey, and he's chirping me, and I'm like, listen, sausage roll, beat it. Your team is going to choke like they always do, and true to form.
And they did.
But yeah, you had all the Riders fans who weren't even, but they were represented in force, right?
Oh, yeah.
Girls in super tight jeans and super short skirts. Like, it was, to me, they was like, they were
gorgeous.
Late, like I said, with the big hair, rocking like it was 1988 all over again.
Reminds you of a St. Patrick's Day in Charlottetown.
With a young, impressionable Matt Robinson, underage drinking.
Still handing off Guinnesses.
Handing them off. I'm like, hey, man, I'll just keep them coming this way. I'll take mine. I'll take yours. But yeah, you were getting, I think you needed a free hand to fight off all the old ladies in the shamrock, glasses groping you. You're like, look at this young guy.
Yes.
I can't have a beer in each hand. I need to swat these.
All right. So
welcome to the island.
So that's, I don't know if we've ever told that story on the pod, but that's for a different day. But the Grey Cup weekend, Maddie Lang always down for a party as well. I don't think you ended up coming out with us on the Friday night.
I begged off.
Right. We went down to the Spirit of Edmonton, which was right down at the Lower Town Brewery. And again, just absolutely jammed, right? And people just having a good time. And you're kind of looking around, and Maddie's pointing out, he's like, hey, there's Steve Simmons. And, fuck Steve Simmons. But he's just having a pint, tapping his toe to the live band that's playing, and you look over there and, oh shit, there's whoever,
Pierre,
right?
Pierre LeBrun.
Maybe, right?
Well, like, and the thing is, those are the two guys that Scotty Mac on the Friday night was supposed to meet for for stakes.
Okay.
And he didn't make it. So no. Simmons and LeBrun clearly had time on their hands now because...
Well, we definitely saw Simmons, and there's always a couple of guys around and just media types that are just kind of out enjoying the vibe. And, you know, I'll be totally honest with you. When I saw Steve Simmons there doing that, I'm like, all right, he's probably an okay guy, right? He's just writing to be a dick because it gets clicks and whatever.
Well, love me or hate me. Don't be ambivalent about me, right?
But you,
and he is that guy.
Absolutely. So that was a fun week for our show, a big week for our show, I like to think, and as you said, kind of a turning point. So this would normally be conference final Sunday, which brings always, you know, a couple of really interesting games, and then you build to Grey Cup. So like I said, Wednesday morning, Michaela Schreider, the Mouchoir podcast, she'll be on talking all kinds of CFL. Looking forward to that one. So we hope you'll stick around. I heard you crack something like 15 minutes ago.
I see Michaela also, she was tweeting out the Burris to Ellingson. The second and 28.
Touchdown.
Yeah. And so she tweeted out, but she tweeted out the Rod Black TSN
that's
version.
The only one that's, because all the time, man, I've tried to use that sound clip a bunch of times for the intro, outro, whatever in our show. It's hard to find the AJ call, and I have no time for anyone posting the Rod Black call, but it's hard to find the AJ call.
Right at you, Shrides. Right at you.
She knows. She's heard. But it's hard to find it, right? It's hard to find the good, because someone's had to have taken the time to paste it.
Yeah, but I know the man, and he's got it as his ringtone. Sure, shit, that's the case, right? You know where to reach out if you want that soundbite.
True. But it's not right paste there. It over the video. That's the problem, right? To share.
Right. Well, that Matt's got a little time. He's going to have to work that through, I think, is what's going to happen there.
Yeah, yeah.
But good for Matt. That's how that should be.
Well, Matt's got to keep the peace between all the, you know. We also had to work out some differences between you and Maddie on that first show with during that Grey Cup week. So
not so much, because Maddie knows.
Oh,
he doesn't want to end up. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Yeah.
The double bluchador
is going to end up getting chokeslammed, right? Tombstoned. And it's funny you should mention him. I actually ended up in I went down he retweeted something in a wrestling tweet, and I sort of ended up down this.
Oh, the unionized.
Yeah. I was on that, and I went down, and I was exchanging a couple of tweets with a couple of doughheads, but really more about unionized work environments and what it would mean and not mean and those sorts of things than anything else.
Yeah. I don't know the whole story. I know I'm supposed to be the wrestling guy on this show, but I don't know her real name. Her character's name was Selena Vega, and she essentially showed her support for the idea that pro wrestlers should be unionized to protect themselves and get some health care and health insurance and things like that. You know, you can get kind of fucked up doing what they do as often as they do. And within like...
Hey, Owen Hart!
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. So within like 10 minutes, she was fired. They were just like, yeah, fuck you. And you're not that important of a character.
Outright release.
Yeah. And they always post, it's become a meme on the internet, but when WWE parts ways with someone, the tweet or the announcement on their website, the last sentence is always, and we wish them the best in their future endeavors. So in the wrestling world, when you get talking about some of these characters or whatever, if you haven't seen them in a while, it's always the meme is like they've been future endeavored, right? Or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but that's essentially she, and this is something that has gone on for a long time. Like Jesse Ventura was the first one who back in like 87 started talking about if we all got together with Hogan and Flair and all the big names at the time in multiple companies and said, we're unionizing, we could get health care, we could get health insurance. And Hogan, who was making like 9 times what anyone else was making, went straight to Vince and said, hey, there's your mole. Ventura was fired, and that was the end of that conversation for like a decade. And it creeps back up every now and then. But yeah, she was not nearly a big enough character, right? To be able to publicly have that conversation. And literally, it was like 15, 20 minutes. And they were just like, no, you're fired. Fuck you.
Well, and unions are super polarizing, right? In all work environments and in all sporting events, right? And and if you look at the weakest PA in sports, it's the NFLPA, right? But what you have is the pyramid. The base on that pyramid is so wide, yet the tip is super fine, right? So without the Bradys and the Roethlisbergers, you're not getting it.
Well, that was it. Even in this, right?
Backup
when
lineman.
Hogan goes to Vince and say, that's your fucking guy.
Right. And so you look at Dana White in the UFC is very similar, right? Yep. And at some point you got to say, hey man, when are you gonna just take a small chunk of that and give it to the people who are your organization, right? And it's funny, man, because there was a bunch of people on that, and I'm not a wrestling guy.
No.
But there's a bunch of people on there like, yeah, unions are for jackasses and screw you. You just fucked up your future. Good for you. You did this to yourself. And you're like, man, what is your deal?
Right. Well,
that's your insta take. Like maybe just stand back and go, I don't dig unions, but this is also somebody who's making a stand and has now lost her gig, her job.
Well, and so, this stems from a whole thing that we don't need to go down on today. That Vince McMahon, when he signs contracts with professional wrestlers, he calls them independent contractors.
Yeah, of course.
So there's no health insurance. There's no what, but there is all the restrictions of an employee.
Right.
You can't.
Your social media, all that stuff.
Belongs to us. You can't do Cameo anymore, which for those who don't know is like you can pay, depends on who it is, but 10, 20, 30, 50 bucks to have Tom Brady wish your friend a happy birthday, right? They'll send a video or whatever. Okay, that's gone. We're taking that money too. You can't go work for that other wrestling company next weekend like an independent contractor could. You are specifically independent contracted to us. All the things that an employer would have control over, but without calling them employees. And so this has been a thing for a while, and it's a way to skirt a whole bunch of bullshit with the government and taxes and, you know, having to be responsible for different things. But the unionization talk, he will smash at every turn. And this was just someone who, you know, you would have needed a John Cena or an Undertaker or somebody to say it and not get fired. She was going to get fired, like, right off the hop. So that was interesting to see that kind of blow up and be stamped down quickly this week. And like I said, she's just not a big enough character that it will change anything for them, right? Like, he'll be able to, within a week or two, be like, yeah, I don't know who you're talking about. She was just written out of TV and no one noticed, so... So we've covered a lot of ground there that maybe we normally wouldn't before we get to the most important thing. What are you drinking tonight?
Well, we've gone long enough that I've actually already drank it.
Yeah, it's gone. She gone.
I am drinking the Oats and Hose Oatmeal Stout from Brew Revolution.
The Oats and Hose.
Yes. I'm not sure what
Speaking
that's
Speaking of Ryderville.
Yeah, well, this is it. So it's an oatmeal stout, and I've obviously polished back the first one in between while we talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
It was fantastic. Matt, it is going to be right up your alley.
Yes.
Right? Slightly less than 5 ABV.
Okay. Yep. Good.
Decent on the IBUs. Pretty low, actually, 30.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, it's easy drinking. It's not that viscous, right? It doesn't leave a whole lot on the glass. It just sort of, it rolls down nice and smooth. Has that roasty sort of coffee thing that everybody loves. And if you don't, I'm not sure what you're digging, but. So yeah, I've already taken down the first one and thought as I was coming by the fridge, I thought, all right, I'll just grab the other one.
Snag another one of those.
See, so what happened is, before we get to what you got going there.
Yeah. Which nobody cares about.
I think we touched on last week. We touched on the roofing, the roofing issue that was going on here. Finally completed. Took forever. slack asses. I'm not sure what they were doing, but
it's been less than a week.
I know, but it's an end unit townhome.
All right.
Like, what are you doing?
It's like,
man?
9 shingles. Just get that shit done.
Well, this is it. Like, honestly, what are you doing? But I was gifted from the neighbor a left field stout pack.
Ooh, I'm intrigued by that.
So our guys at left field, who to me, they do one of, if not the gold standard, one of the best New England style IPAs. They're Greenwood from left field.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
But this was, the first one was a coffee porter.
Oh, I'm intrigued by that, man.
Well, and really nice, yeah. Right? And it was a little more viscous. It sort of left a little, it almost had kind of an imperial feel to it.
Right.
As did the second one in it, which was a mocha marshmallow stout.
Hmm.
Which I know
sweet.
You have.
That'll be sweet.
Yeah, but okay, but it wasn't.
Yeah?
It wasn't really. And to me, I didn't get a lot of the mocha, but I got, you get just a chef's kiss of marshmallow at the end, just like a little hint.
Yeah, okay.
So you got the whole roasty stout with a little bit of, like, just a touch of marshmallow at the end, which I actually found to be pretty good. And then the third one was the Bricks and Mortar Imperial Stout.
Okay, I think I've had that one, I believe.
It sounds like something we may have had down at the...
I was just going to say, at the Verst.
At the Worst.
Yeah, maybe at Union Station. Or maybe one that Maddie brought up during that Grey Cup week, because he brought a bunch of left field that week.
He definitely brought up the, that's the first time I'd had the Greenwood.
Okay.
Right? He did not bring up, he brought up, it was something else in the Lager Pilsner range.
Yeah, maybe.
But the and so the only problem, all three of the beers to me rated very high, mm-hmm. right? In terms of their, you know, stout porter, great for, you know, mid to late November.
Yeah.
But the Imperial Stout, 9.5 and scary kind of tastes like 4.
Oh, right? That's a problem, right?
That
porter when Andy was in
Percy Mableton.
Yeah, it was it. Yeah, just before the calendar at the end of last, that did not taste like a high percentage.
7.5 on the Percy Mableton.
But it went down easy.
Super smooth. Yeah, so all three of those, if you like. And it's kind of has that throwback hand pumped wood keg kind of feel
nice,
to all
yes.
three of them, right?
Okay.
So it's missing the widget. It's not creamy, and more or less all three of them had that nice where that left the legs on the glass, right? The
yeah.
rundown and really had that sort of.
So this was all in one pack. You called it a stout
yeah.
pack or something?
Yeah. Well, it was called a winter pack.
Okay. Well, that should be. Thicker, darker.
Yeah, and so it was just three beers in this little. In Matt's now gone off in a different direction. but yes, all three were in this nice little cardboard thing. It was awesome, right? And so
I'm intrigued by that.
I took that down. He said he grabbed it at the LCBO.
Yep.
And so, yeah, on top of this Brew Revolution Oats and Hoes Oatmeal Stout,
mm-hmm.
I took those other three down during the week. Just one at a time. My only complaint is the left field guys come in the small cans.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. That is my one and only complaint about the really good work that left field does.
Well, so as we move into what I got going on here, man, I'm still into the Dominion pack that I...
good work over there.
Yeah, they do nice stuff. But again, the whole collection, small cans, right? And that's not really what we do here, but I have time for it. And so today I'm into their IPA, and they have several. This is the,
which one is it?
This is the Desperate Hours IPA.
Oh.
And I felt it fit nicely on a weekend that really only featured the Masters and some NFL stuff in terms of content for the show. Things are feeling a little desperate, man. These are the but I did finally get around, if you didn't check out the show that we referenced earlier this week with Chris Hoffley, to the small, it's called the Small Stout with Pistachio. And again, little
I
can.
Love pistachio.
Yeah, see, and I didn't get a ton of the pistachio off of it. It was more the vanilla flavoring that was coming through strong. But it was a 10%. And you tasted every bit of it.
Ah, see.
It was thick. It was syrupy. It was heavy. And I brought two of them into the studio. And even as a small kid, I got through one. Right. That's what I, it was heavy. Well, and they said it right up front. Here it is. It's 10%. It's like there was nothing false advertising about it. But I went in going, yeah, all right, like that'll be fine. I went, yeah, no, one was enough, man. Like,
yeah, see, when I do the, and I've done it on a couple of shows, and I'll do it again because I love it, the Vanishing Point Imperial Stout from Medicine Gun. Yep. It rolls in about 11 and change. Yep. And I will drink that in a show, but it comes in a 500 milliliter bottle, and I'll sort of pour a glass, and I'll drink something else.
Yes.
Which makes me hosed by the end of the show. But it really is, I drink it, and then I have something else on the go on the other side of the microphone, right? Yeah. Like I'm sort of double
fisting it.
Yeah, which is really, that's what everybody should do, right? It is Grey Cup week-ish.
Yeah, and right? We'll get into some of the Pornhub content we got coming here with the double fisting here shortly.
Because, of course, right there, one on top of the other.
So this one, the Desperate Hours IPA, this is a 7%, and it's nice. It doesn't taste overpowering. It's kind of citrusy, which I know a lot of them kind of lean towards these days. But I'm enjoying it. Like, I've been back and forth on the IPAs. Everybody already knows how I stand on that. But I don't like any of them if they're overpowering. This is a nice flavored IPA. At 7%, you kind of expect something to be kicking strong. This is a nice blended IPA that I am really enjoying more than... I don't know. There was another IPA out of Dominion that I think I may have had on the show last week. I can't even remember. But this one, much nicer. Really enjoying this one. Have two of them here. It's a 7%, but it doesn't... This is one of those 7%, as we referenced earlier, that could get you in trouble, right? Like, that goes down nice, right? I'm enjoying this.
And see, depending on whether it's an East Coast, which is, you know, your New England style, your Vermont, your whatever you want to call it. Yeah. They are... traditionally the juicy sort of tropical.
I would probably put this into that category, but not in a powerful way, right?
Whereas your West Coast IPAs, right? Those are kick you in the balls kind of hoppy, right? Less juicy.
This is juicy.
Yeah, I know. And Matt.
And I like some juicy.
Yeah, for a guy who goes in for the curves, as mentioned on many previous shows. Maybe more of us. He's coming around to that New England style.
I think
IPA.
So, man. I think so.
Hey, and I'm going to back this later in the show. I say later in the show because I'm now already into my second pint. I've gone back to the Good Companion out of Toronto with a session ale. No, a session IPA.
Okay.
And it's worth noting. I've had in the past 2 weeks. I'm making the two. Hand sign here.
Sure, peace.
On this very clearly audio, you know, not great on the audio.
Yeah.
But you can all see that, yes.
Sure. Theater of the mind, man.
Yeah. I had a session IPA from Brock Street.
Okay.
Which to me was quite hoppy and IPA-ish off the top and finished like a non-alcoholic beer with a watery finish. Like, honestly, it was bam IPA and finished like a glass of room temperature water.
Well, maybe you were already just well looped enough to.
No,
by the end of it, nah.
I've already had this Cotton and Eddie Session IPA from Good Companion.
Mm-hmm.
It is much less in your face at the beginning, but it stays the same throughout.
I like that.
And so, to me, as a session IPA, for anybody who's looking for that. That big flavor, but in a lower alcohol, it's 3.5, I believe, the session IPA, right? So
carry
it's somebody
it
who wants that.
Afternoon.
Yeah, somebody who wants that IPA flavor, but isn't really looking for that in your face high ABVs. Yeah, this Good Companion out of Toronto session IPA, it's you should give it a try because to me it's got the flavor you're looking for without all the alcohol.
Without all that alcohol.
Yeah, no.
Man. No, I hear you. I hear you.
I'm not looking for it, but I have... see, to me, I don't have any room for any sessions in my...
Right.
In my... This is nice because I'm going to back end a three-pint show.
Yeah.
with that, right? So we're good to go.
Yeah, well, there we are. Our takeoff point halfway through. Normally we lead off the show with the beers, but, you know, sometimes things just, they get away from you just a little bit.
Well, whenever we start and you and I do, whether it's in the green room or just before shows, we kick around and go, all right, topics. This is what I'm bringing. This is what you're bringing. This is what I'm thinking.
But we both always seem to hold something back.
Well, because there's never a shortage of things to blather about, really, which is
good old time blather.
Which is why you have a podcast. Am I right?
No, for sure. When I tweeted out on Wednesday or whenever it was that Chris Hoffley'd been on, I tweeted out the link and he quoted it with, "Watch me drink and say things." And I had to send him a message. It was like, where were you when we were naming the show, man? Like,
okay, but that's also been my, I drink and I know things.
Yes. And then he replied to that saying, what was it? And I was like, I don't know. I'm a fountain of average ideas. And I'm like, God damn it. That's a great subtitle to the pod, right? Like,
yeah,
I drink and have a fountain of average ideas.
Where mediocrity comes home to roost.
In The Athletic this week, they do this every year. I think the timing's a little different this year because the timing on everything is a little different this year. They put out the ranking of front office confidence and just sort of fan reference, you know, how sure are you that your team is doing the right thing? And they always rank it in two different ways. What is your home market think that you're doing versus what the public believes that you're doing? And sometimes those are very different. Sometimes they're very similar.
Check Toronto.
Often I find that you, with small departures here or there, but often to me, this list looks like the top 10 teams in the league, obviously fans.
Feeling good.
Right. And the bottom 10 the same way. One of the ones.
Not feeling so good.
Right. If we suck, it's probably because, you know, I don't believe in what you're doing. Why don't we start just briefly before we, because we're not going to go team by team through this. What did you think about Ottawa jumping like 10 spots in the rankings? I think this year they were at 21.
Sitting at number 21.
Yeah.
Top of the shit heap. Right there.
Right there. Board, just about ready to jump into the average, but still kind of stuck just barely in the no belief.
And it's funny because,
but it was a 10-point jump. Like,
yeah, they went from 30, I believe, last year to 21.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Are you 10 times more confident in this management group than you were a year ago?
Am I 33%?
Right.
No. No, I'm not. And I like to think of myself as an educated fan.
You can let him know at Captain Blowhard if you also think he's an educated
fan. And I will completely disregard it. Because I know more than you, and that's why I'm in this seat.
He's very humble. This seat in my basement with a beer talking into a USB microphone. We are pros, baby.
And that's how it is.
Yeah.
All very true. And Rob is now humbled. Not.
Nope.
Yeah, it's easy to say. Like these are broken down into six categories, right? It's franchise vision. It's free agent signings. It's trades.
It's cap management.
Cap management, development.
Yeah.
It's all there's six categories, and Ottawa rates, air quotes, relatively high in cap management and development.
Yep.
The rest is shite.
Yeah.
Right. Like so what happens is because where Ottawa is now in the terms of we've sucked and poorly managed, that you've now fallen your way into what they do very well or fairly well is draft.
Yep.
Develop, like, we could talk about that, right? You know,
sure.
With your Curtis Lazars and your Logan Browns and how these things shake out, and you go, well, everyone can look at it and go, look at that. That's fantastic.
Right.
And then they don't want to look at that and go, hey, look at that. So it's fine to say when you're on...
Don't look at Nick Paul. Don't look at whatever. Oh, no.
Well, see, Nick Paul at least is a drafted by somebody else and is...
But you know what I'm saying. Look over here.
For sure.
Don't look over there.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. For sure. But yeah, because they are on the upswing in terms of young potential.
Yep.
Right there, potential. And you've traded away anybody who could demand any kind of dollars. So there's your cap management. and development is one thing because a lot of these guys are still potential.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So development is still a question mark. Right? But that's where it's on the back of those two things that Ottawa has jumped these 10 points.
So over a bunch of shit heaps. And it's kind of
well,
like...
But there's some interesting teams.
There is. And
in the 20s.
Just to finish my point, though, was going to be this kind of... You didn't royally fuck it up at the draft. That's the jump from 30 to 21. Yeah. You made no horrible mistakes this year like you've made the last couple of years. And that is enough to push you ahead of some teams who did make horrible decisions over... Like, there is a lot of recency bias to these sorts of...
Well, and timing is everything. Yeah, it says course. That right in the article, right? That what it comes down to is, and it says right in the title of the article, fan confidence.
Yes, that's all it is.
In the front office. Yes, it's not anybody with any kind of knowledge.
We all got to vote.
And we've all did. Right?
They treated it similar to what Rob said he would with your tweets.
I'm kidding. I bring it on. Give me whatever you got. But it is just fan-based confidence.
Yep.
Right? So to me, right now, Ottawa, fairly optimistic.
Sure. And why shouldn't it be? A big draft, couple of big prospects coming in, have picked up some pieces from some deals.
Your cap management issues are in the next 3 years.
Of course, yeah.
We're going to see what happens now.
Yeah.
This is it. And you go, well, what are you going to do now?
Right.
Right. Which way does this go? Do you get the nice breaks like the Bruins had? Got a couple of, timing issues there where I get Pastrnak and Marchand signed.
Pastrnak signs 1 year before our, RFAs make that huge jump. And maybe he's suddenly $8, $9, $10 million a year.
Well, this is it. Well, and to me, if you look at how that just transitioned in those 2 years after he signed his deal. That guy's getting paid stacks.
Yep. No, for sure he is.
I was interested in it. And like I said, you said we're not going to break it down team by team, but I was interested in some of the teams that were ranked so low. Like, for instance, Pittsburgh at 28.
You feel like he's sort of lately just out there waving at it? Like,
yeah, okay, but... To me, all those things that you can talk about...
Because it was only a year or two ago he was top 7 or 8.
Right, and this team is 2 years removed from back-to-back cups.
Yep.
Right, and you go, I'm not sure what your deal is. He's been very clear in his...
Yep.
Crosby and Malkin...
As long as we got that, we're going for it.
Between 8-7 and 9-5, whatever the two guys are...
Yeah.
We are in a constant state of trading picks away for now. And you go, they've done it. Short of this last year where they flamed out like a big blue flame against the Habs.
But they have brought in Eric Goodbranson and they have brought in Jack Johnson. Brought Cody Ceci. And you start to go, hey, man, what you doing? Right?
Yeah. Okay, but you know what he's doing.
Yeah, but he's doing even that poorly, right? Like... That's your wild swing is Eric Goodbranson. And I know that's two teams ago, but like it's sort of this is the thing when you do these sorts of things based on fan reaction, you get some wild swing. 2 years ago, they were, like I said, top 7 or whatever it was because they were coming off a cup. Now, fans forget you're only 2 years removed from a cup. Fans are like, fuck you, man. Like, what have you done for me this summer? And what you did this summer was Cody Ceci, and one's impressed by that.
Okay, and if you look at the goalies in that 2 year run, Fleury and Murray, gone.
Yep.
And so I get it, but as fans, you're like,
fans
listen here, you cushy loving things. Like, just wait. Last time you guys were in the shitter, you were talking about not going to, and the team was going to relocate to Kansas City, yes, right? Then you got Crosby, Hamilton. And look at us. We're on the upswing, right? Right. If you look at the Lemieux time, you're like, ah, the franchise is in the dump, and we're up and running, right? So, honestly, well, let's wait and see what happens, because these guys are coming in for an apocalypse.
Oh, right? For sure. Like, way worse than what Chicago is going through right now. Like,
for sure. Yep.
And Chicago has at least now come out and said, although to anyone who wasn't already in the organization, you knew you're rebuilding. You just don't know you're rebuilding.
You just haven't told Captain
Right. They just keep, as long as we have Malkin and Crosby, we're going for, and I think that's right. I think you have to, but that does mean you're going to be terrible for a decade after. You have nothing. But I do wonder, when you look at these sorts of things and these sorts of surveys, as you're reading through them, as you get to 8, 7, 6, 5, is it, do you scan ahead? Do you think ahead? Or you're like, oh man, like I still haven't
seen. Who's left on the board?
Right.
Yeah, of course I do.
Okay. See, it wasn't until probably the top three where I started to go, oh, I wonder. And then it obviously dawns on you, okay, Colorado is going to finish number one because of A, where they're at, B, the cap space they have. And obviously that's going to get filled in the coming years. But we're no more than 3 or 4 years removed from pointing and laughing at what Colorado's doing. You've right. blown it on. And again, it's a little different than fans being fickle, because it turned around a little and Nate McKinnon didn't turn into what he is now right away, like right. some first overall picks do. But
sweet, sweet contract.
Yes. No, for sure. You want to talk about Pastrnak, man. McKinnon got locked up at a, like, as a, he's right there in the argument 6. For best 2 player
or
in the
whatever
league,
it is.
Right? Yeah, no, yeah. For sure. Were, did you know all along as you were watching these tick away, we're probably looking at Colorado? Because I'll be honest, it didn't come to me until probably the top five that I'm like, oh, okay, I see where we're going to land here.
In the name of transparency, which is normally what the show has nothing to do with, I actually got to number 2 with Tampa Bay. I'm like, well, who am I missing? Like, I'm reading Tampa Bay, and I'm like,
who's left?
Okay, I've gone through, and I'm going, as I always do, I go across Canada, I go down the coast,
right,
the West Coast, and then I sort of look, and I go, okay, now I got the old Patrick division, right, and I'm going through, and I'm like, who am I missing, right? And so it actually, I had completely forgot about Colorado until I kept scrolling down, like, oh, there it is.
And there they are. Yep.
And they were 1 or 2 in all the categories.
Yeah. Yeah, no, have cap space. And, you know, they were a team that people talked about. Could Taylor Hall go for 1 year, right? Or similar to what we talked about years ago with Toronto, where all these guys are going to get paid, but it's not for a year. Maybe you could do
Vince
something
better
stupid.
Have my money.
Yeah, he's got all our money.
Well, and the thing is, as you've just said, 3 years ago or whatever it was,
yeah,
when there was the Sakic, Waugh debacle,
yep,
and they were like biblically kind of bad.
Horrendous, like 49 points bad or whatever it was.
Right, like the wings are even looking and laughing.
Yes.
And so you look at that and you go, they made that Duchesne trade. Hello, Ottawa. Hello, Nashville. Right? And that, up until that point, people were like, hey, Joe Sakic, what the fuck
you
are you
stink.
Doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not good at this.
Nope.
Now the new Joe Sakic is Rob Blake in Los Angeles, but that's a story for maybe 5 minutes down the road. It's interesting when you look at just doubling back to Chicago, how low they were right by Pittsburgh, 27,
yeah,
somewhere in that range. And if you look at if you contrast that directly with the other team in the early teens, you know, 2010 through 2016,
mm-hmm,
that had all that success, the Kings. Right.
Yep.
And how they have gone about, and to me, Rob Blake has made some shit moves and some weird shit's gone on there.
Yeah.
But their fan base has them in the top 10. They still have some of these old guys, Carter,
Drew Doughty,
Kopitar, Drew
Doughty. He's not
Doughty.
Old, but he's locked up forever
Quick.
Quick.
You have all these guys, and yet their fan base has them well inside the top 10.
See, I don't see that.
I don't see it either. To me, that's one of those outliers where you're like, man,
yeah,
super optimistic,
yeah,
for no reason.
Right.
And then you have the Blackhawks with one more cup in that same sort of time span. And now maybe it's because the Kings have said or clearly have made that.
Right. Yeah. Everyone knows.
But they're sucking, but they haven't publicly came out and said rebuild.
No.
They haven't. They just still have all these other contracts. And they just happen to have bottomed out,
right.
And now they've drafted a bit. But that's the only difference between them and the Hawks, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, I think that's right. I don't understand how, whether you write a public letter to your fan base or not that says this is what you're doing moves you 15 spots ahead of somebody in the...
Right. No, like, and that's what I'm saying. The Kings haven't done that.
And that... But to me, that's not enough to move you that many spots above Chicago. I just think, again, as we talk about timing, and when you take this survey, we had just heard Jonathan Toews speak out against, and we had just traded Saad for Zadorov, whatever. You know, like, it is very... Everyone was mad, even in Chicago, at Stan Bowman the week that we did this survey, right? And so you kind of... Two teams in similar situation. One gets fucking buried. The other hasn't done that much different. But, yeah, we'll give you a pass because you did bring us two cups. And like, to me, that's the bullshit part, and we've talked about this before, of this version of Gary's NHL. The best teams who draft and develop and do all this stuff get fucking buried on the back end. Like, you should be rewarding those teams. So,
yeah.
But that's a whole other issue for another. Did anybody else on the list stand out to you in terms of, I can't believe they're that low, can't believe they're that high?
Three teams.
Okay.
Three things that sort of stuck out to me was, first and foremost, you have the Oilers at 25 or 24, right?
Yeah.
And I want to contrast them directly with the Wings. How high the Wings were on this list.
Yeah. When we love you, Steve Yzerman. You've shown nothing yet, but...
The Iser plan, right? And so...
plan was bad enough. At least it kind of fit.
The first comment from the fan was, trust the Iser plan.
Ugh.
And so, again, he's done nothing. And this team is going to be, you know, in an 82-game schedule, this team would be minus 60 points.
Right.
below the 60-point mark. Yeah. This team is going to suck again.
Don't forget about the addition of Mark Stahl.
Yeah, I know. And that was one of the comments, too. Like, oh, I love the addition of Mark Stahl and Bobby Ryan.
You don't understand what just happened, man. Okay.
Yeah. I would love that if it was 10 years ago, too. Right. Those guys would be great additions. Yeah,
exactly.
But not now.
No.
And so, to me, I was how Detroit, a top 10 team in this poll.
Mm-hmm.
Edmonton... And I think we can make the direct comparison and draw the line from Ken Holland leaving Detroit, moving his way over there. People are still saying, you know, the cap has been mismanaged here. The roster has been built poorly. They, for a team that
in Edmonton or Detroit?
In Edmonton now. I'm making that comparison, right? And Ken Holland is the linchpin in that, in that deal. Is, yeah, fans that are not happy... With two of the top 10 players in the league?
Yeah.
People are like, this team, this sucks.
Well, so
brutal.
Right. And I look, a ton of shit has happened. I can't remember what I said afterwards, but I know at the time of the trade deadline, I commended the Oilers. I liked the moves they made. I thought the moves for...
Ennis and Athanasiou?
Yeah, to me, I think that was 2 seconds. I thought that was a bit rich, but I liked... Ennis to bring in, like, I liked the it was just tinkering, and it was we got a good thing going here, and can we bring in some speedy wingers to play with us?
Nobody's speedier than Athanasiou,
right? And I liked Ennis as a guy who could play up and down a little bit. I don't understand, again, now obviously after, like, I think Mike Green played like 3 games before he just decided, I'm not going to the bubble, and like, he'd gotten hurt, and like, there's some things that have blown up that are hard to blame Ken Holland for
sure. Oh no, I agree.
Yeah, so like, they're in an interesting place where you're like, okay, it didn't work out, but is it something that Ken Holland could have predicted? Probably not.
Well, See, you can't put the Chris Russell, you can't put the Koskinen.
That's right.
You can't put all those on Ken Holland.
Nope, exactly.
Right? Those are not his fault.
That's
you can't put the Lucic, which now is in the
That's a
Neil,
Calgary problem.
Right? Yep. Right. These are not his,
That's
his
right.
issues. But what is his issue is, if you want to look at, let's look at Athanasiou in the 2 seconds. Ken Holland, you had that guy.
Yeah, you should know.
Who held out the year before when everyone was like, who's this guy? And what's he holding out for?
Right.
Okay, so you knew him. And you still brought him in for the 2 seconds, right?
Yep.
We'll see where Tyson Berry lands you. I'm not super optimistic, right, in terms of how that's going to play out there.
Yeah.
Ken Holland did Butkus to upgrade his goaltending.
No,
right? Those are the things that are going to hang on him at this moment. But we'll see, right? I think the tourist signing, I think, is going to be
That's a worthwhile
there.
Gamble.
For sure, man. Yeah. And so we'll see what he's done in terms of trying to cut the threads on some of the Shirelli shit.
But it just circles back to when we do these sorts of surveys, fans are just generally pissed at the team. And whether it happened under this guy's tenure or not seems to be irrelevant. Our cap hell is whoever's running this thing right now.
Right. And so those are my two teams at different ends.
Yeah.
There's a team right in the middle that I found to be queer. The Minnesota Wild, they're in the teens somewhere where the fans are like, Guerin's a breath of fresh air. Love what Guerin's doing. And you're like,
what is that?
Your team is old and sucks ass.
Again, though, he didn't build that old sucks ass.
No, I know. Okay. So, and again, but what about your team right at this moment, short of Bill Guerin, is giving you any confidence? Because there's nothing.
No. To me, that is the most meh team in the league, right? Like,
for sure it is.
I don't know what you're doing.
And there's teams in that range that in the sort of late teens where you go, that is the danger,
right?
Mediocrity or worse is coming your way.
If you can't immediately point at somebody and say that's what they're doing, like you point at, even if you think they're wrong, you point at Ottawa and go, rebuild. You point at Toronto and go, trying to contend. You can go wrong, but you know what they're going for. I don't know what Minnesota's doing right now. Like, they're old, which would suggest trying to contend, but bad, which would suggest you should rebuild. Yeah. Like, there's a bunch of Dallas, who just was in the Stanley Cup final.
They don't see the big rock that's right there. That's going to tear a huge hole in the hull of their boat.
No, exactly.
I think they're in trouble.
They are in trouble. They are. Like, that's not a long-term build.
No. Nope.
So,
but the fans there are super optimistic.
Yep. No, it's true. To me, I think you hit the ones I was most, you know, there's a lot of people will expect me to want to weigh in Toronto. Like, to me, they're fine, top. The thing is, people who read The Athletic are often the more committed, more analytically minded. So they were going to give Dubas the benefit of the doubt. I think, what were they at? Seven, eight?
Seven, I believe, yeah.
Yeah. So to me, that's fine. Like, that's maybe a little high considering that the team hasn't accomplished much yet. But at the same time, you know, it's not like two or three where you're like, yeah, this team's right. I think that's about right. You could fall out of the top 10 and into that mediocre zone, but for now, I think that's okay. Like,
I am notorious shit on the blue team guy.
It's true, he is.
Yeah. But to me, at seven, I have no issue with it, right?
Yeah.
And I was trying to, as best as possible. No, just to try and look at it, you know, clearly and unbiased. They have a good roster.
Yep.
They have a good team.
Yep.
And, you know, have they had four straight first round exits? Or not even first round this year. They didn't even make it in the playoffs this year.
That's right.
The fan base, to me, is still at this point where you're like, this year is the year. And that is what we're looking at. And it's funny, our boy Don Lechishin.
Yep. Dom Lechishin.
Dom, not Don.
Yeah.
Who did this piece And he said it, and I sort of bristle a bit at the idea that where he says, they have no bad contracts. And I think that's probably right. They have different end of the spectrum.
You said that like 2-3 weeks ago.
Have they over... But this is what I'm saying. This is where I'm going with this. Because I'm like, you're fucking wrong, Dom. You don't even know what you're talking about. And then what he says is like the, hey, Rob, wait a second moment in the article is he's saying, do they have a couple of overpays?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They're overpaying their top guys. You're not overpaying your bullshit in the middle.
Yeah. And they've sent those to Ottawa or wherever else. Whatever else you can have happen here.
Yeah.
So it is the truth. And at this point you say, are we going to be a bit hamstrung moving forward with our big four up front?
Maybe. Right?
And what's going to happen in goal? And we could talk about
that's
all those
biggest
things.
Biggest question. Yeah.
Right. But at this point, you're like, the team is, it's clean and it's apparent what they're doing. And for the most part, the fan base is totally buying in and those outside the market, not as much.
That's right. And even some within the fan base that haven't totally bought. But I'm one of those guys who says now, this is now fully Kyle's deal. No more, I had to have CC for a year to get rid of Zaitsev. No more, I had to trade away that first round pick
to get rid of Marlowe
that Lou signed. All of that is now gone. This is Kyle's deal, and we're going to see. And in unique circumstances, but we're going to see. Is this going to work? Is this what it's going to look like? Is this particular approach going to work in 2021? And I always felt, he was still holding on to someone else's coach. He was still had this, that's all gone. And so for right now, my rating of Kyle Dubas would be somewhere around that.
Confidence is high.
Yeah. But right where he is, 8, not 1-5, but somewhere kind of a little below that. And we'll see now, because it's entirely his vision now, his approach now, his cap now, all these sorts of things. And so I'm sort of fine with where they have him, but it stands to reason, if it doesn't work now, it's entirely on him what happens from here on in, man. So,
correct. I agree with you. And we keep saying we have plenty of time to weigh in on, the ups and downs of that, but man, if they're talking about a season starting January 1st,
these sorts
of shows become fewer and fewer because there'll be more meat on the bone.
Ideally, yeah. So over the last week or so, we have seen that kind of reaffirmed. There was an interview with a Philadelphia-based blog that Bill Daly was on, who said, we still believe it's going to be January 1st. That means you gotta be in camp no later than December 15th, which means your Europeans and Americans that are gonna play in Canada have to be in Canada by December 1st, and that's like 2 weeks away.
Well, not to mention the number of teams that they said, your Anaheims, your Ottawas.
You're gonna get an extra week.
It's bumped up even further a week, right?
Right. So you need to hear something within like a week or so that we're locked in. And the NBA, as we sit here and record this, Adrian Wojnarowski, who is the NBA's Bob McKenzie, he doesn't spitball. If he says it, it's real. And he said, essentially Monday afternoon, like tomorrow or today, depending on when you're listening to this, you can make trades. Wednesday is the draft. Like, they're doing this shit on like 2 days notice. Everyone knew the draft was coming, but that free agency window that they normally have, instead of being a full week, is going to be like Friday to Sunday, and then they're going to fire up on December 22nd. They're going, and I think that puts a ton of pressure on the NHL to do the same. But there's far less cross-border pressure. It seems all but certain we're going to have an all-Canadian division in the NHL. It looks a lot like the Raptors might play in Tampa. We've heard a little bit about Louisville, but They don't seem to want to go there. Like, they're not waiting on the border. Like, the NHL might want to try to wait on the border. Do you have... I know that we both saw Bill Daly reaffirm January 1st. Do you believe January 1st is still on the table at all?
That's absolutely what they want to do. But yeah. I it seems like they probably have 3 weeks to play with, right? In January, yeah. I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right? They talk about the last lockout where they went with the 48 games. Mm-hmm. I think that started somewhere around the third week of January.
That's
they
right.
got their 48 in, and it was wrapped up with a tidy bow end of June,
yep.
right? Just before July.
Yep.
So I still see January 1st as a bit of a pipe dream. But I do believe that they are being pulled forward by the NBA.
Yeah. Hard right? to stand on your own going, we can't do it if another league's doing it.
Right. This is it, right? And you hear about different places like the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
With their, you know, they're looking at having 60 or 70% capacity. There's talks here that the U just put in $10 million worth of new ventilation, right?
No chance. Huge.
Yeah, yeah. You're spending your own money, or has somebody
exactly.
else done this for you? But yeah, these are the things that are happening. I still see them saying, you know, the NBA saying the 22nd of December, and we want that Christmas Day, and we want all that sort of stuff.
I believe they'll do that. I have no doubt the NBA will make that happen.
And because when you hear players saying, we're not doing it, and then the NBAPA goes into their thing, and they come out and they're like, we're doing it.
Yeah, we're on board.
Well, and it's what comes down to there is, yeah, when they found it was going to cost them $1 billion.
Yeah.
A billion with a B. right?
B-b-b-b.
Yeah. And so, you know, the NHL, which is in a little bit, a lot more of a tougher situation than the NBA is.
Nowhere near the TV money.
And twice the roster.
Yep. Yep.
And so you look at that and say, yeah, you know that they're also, it's costing them money. And those sorts of things mean they want the schedule, mm-hmm. they want it earlier rather than later, and they want it finished earlier rather than later.
When you look at the date that Wojnarowski put out for the NBA, it was a December 22nd season start. You're going to have a mid-March All-Star break with no All-Star game. You were going to have May playoffs. They were still going to keep a 7 versus 10, 8 versus 9 play-in series in both conferences, where if you are the 7th or 8th base team, you have to win one game. The 9th or 10th base team has to win two games to stay in. And then I think the conference finals started on the 22nd of June, and the NBA finals would start 2 weeks later. And if you look, I'm sure it's no coincidence, the last possible day for the NBA Finals was July 22nd, with an Olympics starting on July 23rd. Now, they don't have a broadcast issue like the NHL does. For those who aren't familiar, the NHL's broadcast rights are held by NBC, who also hosts the Olympics in the United States. But the NBA also doesn't want to go against the Olympics, and I can't imagine... The NBA is still planning to go to the Olympics, but in theory, there would be enough good teams who missed the playoffs or were eliminated early enough that you could send a star team, if you wanted to the Olympics in Tokyo, based on it, you know, rosters full of NBA players. So it kind of allows for both, but there's no coincidence that the last possible day that could drop was the day before the Olympics start. The NHL has to be at least a week earlier or something, because you're sharing broadcast teams, and like NBC is, and they don't want the NHL during the Summer Olympics. And I don't know how I feel about whether or not the Olympics are even going to happen, but that's a drop-dead date.
You and I are on very different, you know, have different thoughts on that. I'm pretty sure the Olympics are happening.
Well, there's enough money at stake. I'm not naive enough to think that they'll just do the right thing. I just think it's a bad idea.
Yeah, but yeah, it's going down.
Yeah.
It's going down.
So with all that in mind, then, as we circle back, you think they're starting on the 1st, or are they going to push it back?
They are not. And I know you asked me that 5 minutes ago, but long-time listeners to the podcast will, yeah, they'll understand.
Right.
No, there's not. I understand your want, but to me, they have that already pre-existing three-week cushion. There's no way. I don't see them starting that at that point.
One of the things that Elliot Friedman has reported in a few different places over the last week or so was that the NFL and Major League Baseball have both said to the NBA and the NHL, if you can, get after it quick and then worry about it later. And the theory sort of being, if you could start on January 1st and leave 2 weeks between what you believe will be the end of your regular season and the start of your playoffs for inevitable makeup games or whatever might have to happen that you didn't anticipate or that you did anticipate and couldn't avoid. And if somehow you get through it scot-free, then you just move your playoffs up a little bit. But he has said that that is one thing that both the NHL and the NBA are thinking a lot about right now is just get going and hope for the best, but leave yourself some room. And we
room
saw
at the end.
Yeah, the Cardinals had to shut down. The Marlins had to shut down. The Phillies were briefly shut down. If it's going to impact your playoff
Cardinals.
Race. I said the Cardinals, yeah. That 2 weeks space, right, to play those games and, you know, just get going, but leave yourself room at the end. And so I think that will be something that they try to.
And if you contrast that to the NFL, who started up and they're like, yeah,
it'll be
fine. We're not changing a thing. And we're just going to, and now to me, they've just completely abandoned everything.
Yeah.
Like I read and they go, you know, the Texans have shut down their training facility. The Patriots have shut down their training facility. Yada, 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 yada. The Cleveland Browns and Cincinnati Bengals. You just sort of go, whatever.
Right.
I have no faith
here
in.
Comes the practice roster this Sunday.
Yeah, or whatever they're going to do that they have firmly decided. When you look at, they had that, and the 49ers played the, it was a week ago on Monday night or Sunday night. And you're like, they have, the 49ers rolled in there at the Packers.
Right.
The 49ers rolled in with, with, as you said, their practice roster. You have completely gone away from.
No, fuck it.
That's it. We can't afford to mess with the 2 week spread.
Right.
And we've already potentially keeping that week in between the Super Bowl to bump shit back.
Yeah.
That they've already said, nah. They've taken the Donald Trump approach to the whole thing.
It'll be fine.
Which is, there's no virus.
Right.
Whatever. Do it. And they're just sort of head down.
Powering through, man.
Powering through, right? Whereas you look at is it perfect what the MLB did? When
no.
You had teams with 17 doubleheaders in a, you know, whatever it was. Because you're trying to, and I'm looking right at you, Marlins.
Yeah.
Who, you know, 3 weeks into the season had only played 6 games. how did they have, how are they at the top of the division?
Yeah.
And yet have only played 6 games. But yeah, that's not perfect, but at least they shut down. They did all those things. Yeah. When I see that NFL teams have, what they're really doing is we're shutting down the training facility for a 24-hour period. We're sanitizing and then we're just opening back up for business.
We're just going again.
So, yeah, I agree with you. If you're going to hit that 48, give yourself that three-week cushion that I just talked about to push it to the end. But that being said, to double back, we need decisions today.
Away.
As people are listening to this show, if by the time a week from now, when you hear our voices again next Monday, if the NHL doesn't have a plan in place, it's not happening
February
January 1st.
Yes. No, you're
you
right.
You are pushing that down each week further, right? Because for all the reasons we've already touched on.
Well, I think that's one of the things that we keep hearing about, right? Is on these Board of Governors calls, there's no more information coming out. But now you're kind of being dragged, as you suggested, by the NBA. Go, hey, they got a plan. Whether you agree with it or not, why don't we have a plan? Right?
Well, our plan is to wait and see what their plan is.
Right?
And then we're going to kind of modify it to fit our needs because that clearly is, whether it's the shutdown, whether it's the resumption of play, all those things, You know, and let's not overlook that the NHL did a good job.
They killed it on the bubble. It was incredible.
Right. But they were cautious. They were reactive to what everybody else was doing before they ever put something down of their own. So I firmly believe, yes, they are going to use that NBA example as the ceiling and move towards it.
Last thing I guess we could touch on here on this one. Touch it. There's all kinds of talk about...
Very little encouragement needed.
No. Sorry about that, man. I'll let you take care of that when you need to. Pornhub, as they often do, and this normally these days only gets brought up on our like end of the year recap show, most searched porn terms of the year or whatever it might be. God love the people over at Pornhub. They decided to release most searched terms during that week in between the election, the erection, and naming the actual president. Not a ton politically motivated, although not none. They said that DC did search a lot about vote. I don't know what it is you thought you were going to. And my other favorite one that they put out is God love you, Mississippi. Hope you found what you were looking for by searching prawn, P-R-O-N. Not a well-educated state.
Not just once, but this is the most searched thing.
Exactly.
I'm looking for prawn. Hey, and that's P-R-O-N.
Yeah.
Not the A-W.
Nope. Just looking for some prawn, man. I wonder, one of the things that stood out to me the most was there were certain states...
Well, you didn't ask me my two favorites.
Well, all right. Why don't you go ahead? I was going to tee you up, but...
Okay.
Take it.
Wisconsin with face sitting. And I believe it was Oklahoma with sex mex.
Nice. Good for you.
Not just the cuisine anymore, ladies and gentlemen. It's sex mex.
Well, and the term that I keep thinking of is, and it was in a few different states, but I think it was South Carolina that had the most searched one that week was fat ass. You're like, versus Alabama's big booty. You're like, just the terminology alone makes you go, I get it. If you're into the big booty thing, who's into fat ass? Like, even if they mean the same thing.
Hey,
like,
fat ass.
Right. That, like, even if they mean the same thing, man, at least frame it up like, nah, fuck it. I'm into fat ass. That's what I'm looking for today.
Well, that to me means it's all held together in a pair of jeans. And it's like a,
just ready
it's
like to explode.
Like a life raft, right? You're going to pull that bad boy out and it's going to explode in all different directions. That is as far away from my wheelhouse as you're going to get.
But just the terminology, you know what I'm saying? Like it.
I know it for sure. I do.
There's some states looking for the same thing, but the way you phrased it was very telling for some reason. Like,
yeah. Well, and I'm stuck with prawn, to be honest with you. I can't spell prawn the word. I'm bashing it with two fingers, and I'm
That's
trying
you, Mississippi.
To, yeah, this
holding
is
us back like, for as long as anyone can remember.
I just need it. I'm not sure what it is, but I know it when I see it.
I got to tell you, man, on top of all the normal reasons that people love Pornhub, I love that they put out these articles and these search terminologies. It's like, hey, while you were all off enjoying Christmas, Alabama was looking for sex max or whatever it was.
Just sex max, honestly. It's and that's from their, and they have a devoted insights department.
Yeah.
Who, and you know, as Matt has already touched on, we traditionally look for and sort of touch on some of the more, you know, the newer introductions to most search terms, right? Like your JOIs and your, exactly. But the, you know, they're keeping it fresh, keeping it front of mind.
Election week, people were looking for distractions, looking for things to ease the tension a little bit.
Very, very little difference between election and erection, right? It's exactly. Super close.
How did I end up at Pornhub? Oh, well, I'm here anyway.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I was looking for ways to control the beaver population in my back. Not safe for work, ladies and gentlemen. Just so you know, hunting beaver is not NSFW. Right. Just like, also burning feet, also not safe for work, just so you know.
Yeah, no, there was, like I said, there was very little of it that was devoted to the election, but there were certain terms that were spiking through that week. And
spiking, we like that.
Mm-hmm. Florida, you're kind of weird. I don't really know what you're doing down there.
Cousin loving, mm-hmm. I think that's what showed up there.
Oh boy, yeah.
That's no good. Gonna get me some cousin loving.
Yeah, gonna go vote for Trump. I'm gonna go love me some cousin.
Well, I thought I'd get a drop right into hump. There was
Trump and cousin hump.
I think there was dump in there too. Oh, I think Jesus. Somewhere. I go in for Florida. You know, Florida goes in for the scat. That is absolutely that is absolutely the case.
Saw a great tweet the other day that was, as we're moving forward, but not really doing anything in terms of climate change. It's like, it's going to be crazy when in 100 years you have to explain to your grandkids not just what climate change was, but what Florida was. It's just gone.
Yeah, I think Florida's was glass boat.
Yeah. Oh, that's uncomfortable. I encourage you, good listener, to check out the glass bottom boat ride, but not at work, because it's uncomfortable and it involves a glass top coffee table. So,
enough said there.
Exactly. Anything else you wanted to hit on this one, man?
I think we've dropped it to a all new high here.
High, low, whatever you people want to call it.
This is exactly awesome. Right.
He's at Captain Blowhard on Twitter. We are on Twitter and Instagram at Tall Can Audio, Facebook.com/Tall Can Audio. Make sure you are subscribed wherever you're listening to this one. Like I said, Wednesday morning, Michaela Schreider, as long as she doesn't listen to this first, will be here to talk a little bit of Grey Cup week stuff. Friday morning, Toronto Mike will be here. Some interesting stuff come. And I think I'm going to just say it now because she seems like she's finally on board after a few times of trying to get her to come on the show. The week after, Haley Salvian of The Athletic, the whiz kid, all the cool kids are talking about Haley's work around Ottawa, and she's finally ready to come on the show as well. So lots of stuff coming up on the Tall Can Audio podcast. Anything else, Matt?
Yeah, when you have Haley on,
mm-hmm.
tell her to nudge CJ that nudge. He promised us some of the beer from the golf course.
It's true, eh? That's true. He owes us.
He said there would be beers coming from the hops that they were growing on the 17th.
Oh, you're so right.
Okay, I don't forget these things.
No.
So CJ.
And I was praising that guy publicly on Twitter during Remembrance Day. He was on with AJ Jakubek, guiding us nicely through the ceremonies and then the gravity of the situation and then back kind of nicely into some sports talk, but he owes us some beers, man.
He owes us beers, right? And he was, because if you remember, and you just got to listen back to the show, I'm telling him, hey, when did we get those beers?
Yeah.
Hey, when do we? And he's like, easy, man. I'm going to bring you the beers. Right? He said that.
Yes, he did.
And so he was like, Rob, simmer down, big fella. I'll bring the beers.
He hasn't brought the beers, man.
So, CJ, you're on notice.
Rob remembers.
Never forgets.
That is TCA number 754. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Hope you have a great week. Hope you'll stick around for everything we got coming up. And we will catch you all later.
See ya.
Now, y'all ain't got nothing else for me to drink. I'm a haul ass. No, I'm serious. I'm about to haul ass. If y'all have no better shit than this to drink.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.